History is littered with examples of unfinished business, unfinished work. And political history is particularly littered with examples of governments being deeply engaged while conflict, division and violence is present and disappearing off the scene when it has been partially resolved and where violence has ceased to be. There's a film called Charlie Wilson's War, I think, which isn't the best film in the world, but it's an example of how the American government were deeply involved in Afghanistan and, despite his best protestations, withdrew all their presence and all their money and all their ability and all their resources after a particular aspect of the Afghanistan war finished. There's a lot of festering around our past. We obviously are still deeply hurt by it. We haven't resolved it. And that is present in our newspapers and on our radio every day of the week. It's even present in our room. We create divisions about whether the HET is good or whether the HET is bad. But that is not, if I may say it, the big question, because I think you ought to answer that quite well, that it was never, ever set up to be the thing that should actually engage with our past. It was there to do an interim job. It was there in the lack of presence of a resourceful and passionate engagement to actually tackle this major divisive issue within our system. I remember when it was set up. I remember the definition of how limited it could be. I remember the definition that it was about dealing with that particular time in a way that was better. It was also some effort to actually disengage policing somewhat from our historical divisions, which are, of course, political. And remember this, I think, that we continue to live under the shadow that some people, particularly unionist policy and politics, do not necessarily accept that our history and our divisions and our conflict were political to this day. And I'm not too sure that we will move much further forward in our present negotiations, in our present engagement at the local political level, because the unionist parties and unionism in the broad sense, apart from loyalism, funny enough, loyalism has no problem in seeing our history and our conflict, particularly over the last 40 or 50 years, as being highly political and politically driven. But middle unionism in general does not accept that. It actually defines it as criminal. And as long as that definition exists, then the tension in this room will continue to exist, because you will say it was political, and therefore what we need is some engagement to bring out the truth and the realities behind that political reality. While unionism will say, but it is people, the IRA, who were criminal and there was no need for a conflict and it should never have happened, and those who actually were engaged in it, and that includes the loyalists and that includes any member of the state who did things external to the law, therefore should be prosecuted through the legal system. And therefore we should stay within that broad parameter and that broad definition of the past. And we continue that conflict to this present day. I don't think that the consultative group in the past would ever have been established had it not been for Hugh Orde, because I think that his engagement with government at the time, I'm not too sure that this is factually correct, but I think it is probably true, he convinced them that the new policing had to be taken out from the past and allowed to get on with the future, and that the HET in itself was not a full answer, and therefore government needed to do something, and government came along to myself and to about eight other people and said, would you actually look at this in its totality and do a report for us? So we did the report. What people often forget or don't refer to is that that report said that the politics of Northern Ireland or political parties, in our view, could not resolve the past, that there was too much baggage amongst our political parties to actually engage and solve this problem. and that it should be the responsibility of the two governments to actually do that. Now, strangely, we have actually ended up in a situation where the two governments are not in the room and all the political parties are in the room. So the Eames Bradley or consultative group in the past failed miserably to actually convince the two governments that they were the people who had the responsibility to take this on and to drive it forward and to ultimately bring it to an end and to allow policing to get on with its present-day job and to engage in its responsibilities. So I think that within the next couple of months, one of the big questions facing us, all of you in this room who are so deeply engaged and sometimes traumatized by all of these events, have to keep an eye on who is going to lead this process, if there is going to be any process, if there is going to be a total rounded engagement and addressing of the situation. Our view was, having looked at it, heard it, that it actually should be the two governments. And the governments are not in the room. So look at that. And if you want to make a protest, I think your protest has to be to the two governments. I want to say something else about this. There are a lot of people in Northern Ireland who do not believe that this can be dealt with. A lot of people believe that you, particularly relatives and families, can never, ever, ever, ever be satisfied. And therefore, whether it's the HET or the situation created under the consultative group in the past, that you will never be satisfied and that should never be engaged with. I don't believe that. That's not my view. I think that is bad politics. I think it's bad sociology. I think it's bad Christianity. I think it's bad a whole lot of things. But leaving that aside, let me address one other thing. It is terribly bad politics, because the last 5 years have probably proved that unless we deal with the past, we do not have a good political presence. And if the maze yesterday was not a perfect example of that, then I do not know what is. But it doesn't just rest with the maze and the aviation group who cannot have it. It goes into every aspect of our present-day politics. And in some ways, I disagree deeply with unionism in not engaging with this issue, in not looking for a resolution of this issue, for this reason, that it suits Republicans better, and it suits Republicans better that Northern Ireland is a slightly uncomfortable place. And I do not understand why unionism continues to let the past unbalance our situation and give us a more positive future. Leave that aside for a minute. How does one deal with this? Because the British government, and they are very central to this issue, in response to the consultative group in the past, in response to other initiatives like Haas and O'Sullivan and so forth, said that there had to be consensus around this issue. I just want to say this. There are two definitions of consensus. There's a definition of a consensus which says that everybody in this room agrees. Well, I would put it down that it would be impossible to get a full agreement out of this room at this moment of time if you were looking for a consensus. But there's another definition of consensus, a far more important definition of consensus, which is that all the various mentalities, all the various views, all the various strands that are in this room are heard and understood. That is a consensus. That's what the Good Friday Agreement was, that second consensus, because there never was and still isn't to this day the initial consensus that everybody agrees. But there is this consensus which actually allows us to take the various strands and the various views and to work within that broad parameter. Some of the stuff that you have dealt with today, particularly about the HET, is important. But Hugh Ord is correct. He was the first person who came to us when we did the consultative stuff and said, look, the HET is not in itself a complete answer. You need to go much beyond this. You need to go further than that. and take the HET into another place and into another zone that allows it within the broader context to begin to engage with this. It is doable. It will never please everybody. Full justice cannot be delivered. Full truth cannot be delivered. But let me say this in conclusion, because you have all been very, very patient. And it's been a long 2 hours and a very intense 2 hours. But let me say this. It can be done. And I do not think that the two governments should be any more frightened of the truth that can be delivered or the justice that can be delivered. I don't think either will upset the political process that much that we cannot move ahead. In fact, it was the judgment of the consultative group that in allowing that to happen, as much truth as could be revealed as possible and as much justice to be achieved as possible would allow us to move forward better than we are doing at this moment of time. Secondly, I don't know any pub in Derry that I couldn't walk into, or that I could walk into, that I could walk into, whereby the boy who would stand me a drink wouldn't believe that the British government were up to their neck and did everything way even beyond your beliefs. Because the boys I know in the corner who stand me drinks really believe this type of stuff, that their conspiracy theories go to the heart of the prime ministership of British government. And if you read De Silva, there's not that much in De Silva apart from his one final conclusion that is not already revealing most of the actual collusive stuff that has been taking place during the 40 years. It's pretty much there, whatever about his own conclusions around that. You can disagree or agree with that. But thirdly, remember this, I think, that in the justice that we're looking for, whether it's in the consultative group or in Haas or so forth, the paramilitary organisations in Northern Ireland and the ex-combatants within policing or the MI5 or whatever else, a few of them are going to end up being charged. If we come up with a new position, some former IRA men will end up being charged. Some former UDA men will end up being charged. Some former police officers will end up being charged. You cannot square the circle between the need for truth, the need for justice, and those two needs, and not end up with somebody being charged at the end of it. There may not be in their hundreds, and they may not be end up in jail for a very long period of time, but some people will be charged, and that includes probably former police officers. Finally, I think that I should say this, that I think this issue should be tackled. I think the coming months, September, October, November, will be vital in the coming future politics of Northern Ireland. I think we have the capabilities of doing it, but I do think that if you want to lobby, and if you want the second consensus that I talked about, not necessarily just your own case, but all the cases from your community, from the unionist community, from the policing community, to be actually included and dealt with, then I think that you're going to have to lobby not just the political parties here, but the two governments. And I would be calling at the Northern Ireland office, and I would be calling at the Taoiseach's office in Dublin. Because unless those two are in the room, I'm not too sure that we can bring this much further. And we are then condemned to possibly living with a lot of tension, a lot of unresolved hurt, a lot of friction that may not, in fact, allow us to achieve the things that we would be capable of achieving had we a freer place to actually live and to dwell and have a future. Thank you.
Well, Dennis, the two governments are actually in the room. The NIO and the Foreign Affairs are here, so hopefully. I just want to thank everybody for being here. I want to thank our guests. I want to thank Dennis. And I particularly want to thank the families who stood up and said how they feel, because they are at the heart of us having a truth process or whatever. But I hope you've enjoyed it. It's a first step, and we'll have more. But thank you very much, Q. Thank you very much, John. Thank you. Brilliant, brilliant. Okay. So thank you for coming.
lovely to see you. Delighted, sir.